All right, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Get Tanked Happy Hour, powered by Green Legion Radio, live here in our beautiful Northern Liberty Studios with the beautiful view that...
It's marred by fog.
Which you can't see shit right now.
I feel like we're in foggy London town. It's foggy London town.
It's just been brutal. Not only are we quarantined, but we have to put up with this. I'm not getting banned this week, Alex. Don't worry.
That's right, folks.
Remember, please rate, review, download, subscribe to Green Legion Radio on iTunes and Google Play. We have big things coming up. I just put my order in for the laptops of all laptops today.
Oh, what you put it in for?
I don't know, a $3,000 gamer laptop.
Oh, man.
So it'll have enough memory to run all of us from different locations on video that we'll be able to stream to you guys via Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, every different social media platform. Jeff Smith, what's up, bud? Deb Kurtz, hello, appreciate you. I have a laptop for porn, Russ, don't worry. And I've been diving deep into the depths of Pornhub over the last few days. I don't know if I can find more disgusting shit than I've been able to find.
You can't trust me. Because just when you think you've seen it all.
Just when you think you've seen it all.
Along comes a lamb to 4 foot tall.
Anyway, we appreciate you guys tuning in with us. You guys have been great the last couple of weeks, which is why we've decided to do additional shows.
Yes.
During this quarantine, we're going Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Yep.
That's how we roll.
Yep.
And we're going to continue to bring content, whether it's sports or something else. But what we're not going to talk about anytime is the coronavirus.
Correct.
We're going to let everybody else talk about it. We're not experts on it. We only know what we read. Go out, read what you want to read on it. That's as much as you're going to hear about COVID-19 and what we're going to discuss regarding that. Do me a favor. Sponsor. Patronize. Not patroning. Not patroning AOC. It's called patronizing.
Patronize.
Please patronize our sponsors, Miller Lite. If you're drinking beer, you're drinking Miller Lite. Our great friends at Stateside Vodka. That's premium distilled vodka distilled right here in Fishtown. Workhorse Brewing out of King of Prussia. They are all over the place right now. Great friend Dan Hirschberg over there brewing up the storm. Our good friend J.P. Lutzik, Bucks County Baseball Company. Don't worry about getting into the storeroom right now. Go to BucksCountyBaseballCO.com. It's one of the biggest websites you will ever see. More Eagles gear than you could possibly imagine. Our good friend Mike McVeigh over Dave Dodge Chrysler Jeep, who has agreed to be our lead-in sponsor when we go on FM radio next month.
I guess the Jeep Genie's coming back.
Which is exactly 1 month away, everybody.
I guess the Jeep Genie's coming back.
Yeah. So,
you don't know what that means, do you?
I don't.
During the break, I'll let you see the Jeep Genie tape.
Cool. Our good friend Ken Hutchings, Pat Pavelchek, and Brian Pavelchek and the Cavanaugh's Restaurants, Cavs River Deck when it opens back up, Cavs Head House off of 2nd and South, Cavs Rittenhouse on Sansom Street between 18th and 19th. When it opens back up, check out our good friend Paul working in the basement bar, and of course, Brian Pavelchek and the University City Cavanaugh's at 39th and Sansom. They are all open for pickup and delivery. So please, everybody, patronize them. As well, our good friends in Manayunk, Bourbon Blue at the bottom of Rector Street, the Bayou and Cactus at the top of the hill. Some of the best food in the city, people, bar none.
Yep.
Please, they have made this happen for us over the last 2 to 3 decades. Yes, 2 to 3 decades. So please sponsor them. Don't forget about the Bayou and Cactus's Love Child, the Manayunk Sport and Social Club, the most social intramural sports leagues in Philadelphia. I'm on a roll, baby.
Call them buddy because you're on a roll, baby.
Our good friend Ken Davies and all the City Fitness Philadelphia locations, Northern Liberties, Graduate Hospital, South Philly, Fishtown, Logan Square, and East Market. And, of course, our good friend Jeff Quinn across the bridge at Echelon Health and Fitness. Don't forget about Jari Evans and Somo Sophie. Don't forget about Somo in Manayunk as well. Our great friend Sean Brace Yourself and Philly influencer 102.5 The Gambler. 102.5 The Gambler. Say it again. 102.5 The Gambler.
Awesome sauce.
We love that place.
What up, Chris?
Our good friends Jox, E-Rock, the rest E-Rock. Of the boys over at 4th and John, and of course our biggest sponsor, Pete at Chickies and Pete, South Philadelphia. Can't say enough about them, as always.
Yes.
Everybody, we got a packed show for you. It's just Hollis and I tonight. Rexy might make a cameo appearance. He's been a little busy trying to get his world back.
Hey, for our viewers, I mean, for our viewers and our listeners, if you have something that you want to talk about, email us or hit us on Facebook, and we'll throw it in the show.
Well, don't forget, our phone lines, our studio lines are open.
That's what I was getting at.
267-915-2664. Call in and talk about anything. We've got nothing to fucking do. We've got nothing to do. Call in.
We're trying to make this enjoyable for
everybody. Yeah, you know, as dumb as your question might be, call in.
I don't think any question is dumb.
Just dumb people that ask questions.
Until you ask the question and you hear it out loud. I don't know.
So, Hollis.
Got you covered.
What happened today in sports history?
Today, we're going to go with history today. I kind of expanded it today. Today is March the 30th. It's the 90th day of the year because it's leap year. And we have 276 days left. We're going to start right off with national holidays. It's like I am in control day.
I am in control day, yes. Interesting.
And also, it's a virtual vacation day. I don't know if you remember Al Bundy when he took that trip to Paris, sitting in his living room.
Virtual vacation day, Al Bundy, yes. Taking a trip to Paris.
Yes, and it's...
Love it.
And as if you know me, you know that I enjoy a tender, delicious meal.
Today I was wondering where you were going with that.
Turkey neck soup day.
Turkey neck soup?
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy. Is that a black thing?
No, it's everybody.
I don't know any white people that have ever had turkey neck
soup. You ate turkey before, haven't you?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. You had turkey neck soup.
Okay.
And there you go. It's like a take a walk in the park day also. And this one especially hits home.
Kelly.
This especially hits home. It's called grass is always greener. It's always browner on the other side of the fence.
Real quick, Collis.
Okay.
We have somebody joining us right now watching, Marty Farrell.
Oh.
Marty Farrell. How are you, sir?
I think you forgot
just
to turn
in case
on.
You were wondering. Hey. Just in case you were wondering.
I got my Miller Lite here, Marty.
Mm-hmm.
Here it is,
Hold
Marty.
Hold on, Marty. Even Hollis is drinking Miller Lite, too.
Mm.
Of course, you can't see it because it's wrapped around those mitts of his.
Sorry, deepest apologies. It was delicious, though.
Russ Taylor said turkey neck soup is a black thing.
It's delicious, though. you tell Russ that. The last national holiday that I was speaking of,
Steve Suter,
it's to mimic what you be thankful for what you have. Grass is always browner because people are always going for greener pastures.
Gotcha.
So this day is to be thankful for what you have.
Jay Vagnetti says Chuck Bolger would say turkey neck soup is not white people shit.
We have
Sue Adams, what's up, hon?
We have some events right quick.
Russ Taylor, I didn't say it wasn't good.
It's delicious.
Sean McGranahan, we just talked about you too, sir.
Yes, we did.
Chickies and Pete, South Philadelphia, we're looking forward to you opening back up because we're going to be down there knocking the shit out of your menu. Not gonna lie.
Good things. Mazel, mazel.
Marty Farrell, doing good. No tequila.
Ah, darn. 1858. Hyman L. Lippman.
Hyman L. Lippman.
Yeah, he invented the pencil with the eraser.
Invented the cherry.
No, the pencil with the eraser on it.
Oh.
pencil with the eraser on the tip. Then we go
Matt
to
Edgar, what's up?
To 1867 with the Alaska Purchase.
Ah, okay.
The 1870 with the 15th Amendment, the right to vote.
Ah.
No matter what color or race, any of that stuff.
Should have added an IQ test to that.
Yes, you should have. 1970. I only put this on here because it's supposed to be one of his most influential albums, Miles Davis. Well, are you a Miles Davis fan?
No.
You'll love the title. It's called Bitches Brew.
Bitches Brew.
Hey, today is
Sean, good to see you, bro.
Today is also the day of 1981 where on this day Chariots of Fire was released and Ronald Reagan was shot by.
Oh God.
Yeah, he was shot.
What was his name?
John Hinckley.
John Hinckley Jr.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. Tip, Dennis Baker. Chuck Bolger, hold on. Chuck Bolger is turkey neck soup white people? Shit? No,
it's not,
right?
It's the brothers. 1984 in New York City, a policeman, you probably remember this, Robert Cunningham, he split a ticket with a waitress And they won the next
day. The lottery.
Yeah, they won the lottery. They spent a lottery ticket.
Did they get married, too? Is that that bad movie with Nicolas Cage and Rosie Perez?
Probably.
Oh, Billy, you're so stupid.
In 1990, I'll put this one in here for you. In 1990, Jack Nicklaus.
Russ. Jodie Foster had him shoot the president.
Oh. Way to go. Yep. So in 1990, the Bear, the Golden Bear, he joined the senior tour. He sent to 71 in the first round, but he ended up winning by four strokes, beating Gary Player.
Gary Player.
Yes, Gary Player.
100%.
Then we have the WrestleMania moment.
Red.
WrestleMania moment. WrestleMania 29. At Safeco Field. Brock Lesnar.
Brock Lesnar.
He beat Kurt Angle.
Before he went back to MMA?
Yeah, before he went back to MMA, he beat Kurt Angle. They got a couple of quick birthdays here.
Okay.
We're going to go way back to Vincent Van Gogh. Today's his birthday. Not that he can hear us or anything. We'll go to 1945, Eric Clapton.
Adam.
1962, you know who Stanley Kurt Burrell is?
No.
MC Hammer.
Hey, I love how they brought him back. Can't touch this.
Can't touch
this. Cheetos commercials.
Yes. In 1964, singer Tracy Chapman. 1968, Celine Dion. And in 1988, your boy Richard Sherman.
Richard Sherman.
That's what I got for you today.
Jason, what's up? Steak, good to see you. Hi, Kathy. Thanks for tuning in. Clapton is God. Okay.
Go pat him on the back. So Joyce wants me to come pat you on the back because you're choking.
I don't have the coronavirus. Don't worry.
My shade's back now.
All right.
There's no sun in here. That's why I had to take them off to read.
All right, well, there you go. So we do have some things to talk about.
Okay.
You know, some stuff that's already in the news, but we haven't had an opportunity to discuss, and we're going to do that now. First on the dossier.
Okay.
And then we're gonna take a quick break. When I go to break, you guys don't leave. It's still fucking great. Even when we go. And this is an all 80s music show.
What up, Ted?
Today. The next song is a tribute to my sister, Connie Miller, who is still recovering from a broken back and broken neck. She was a cover band singer for Pat Benatar songs.
Oh.
The Swamp Fox Inn is one of the spots, and I can remember hearing her singing this song. So that's coming up on break. Alex, I'm going to point at you all the time.
I got a quick one for you.
Do we want cooks?
Do you want cook?
Do we want cook?
Yeah, we want cook.
Yeah, we do.
But to speak, I got a quick sidebar here for you. Do you remember? You know who Ted Washington is?
Yeah.
Yeah. He wants to come on.
Really?
Yeah. That's my guy.
Ted Washington Jr.
No, Ted Washington, the D tackle.
Oh.
The man.
Please.
I already told him I would talk to him. I'm going to bring him on one time. Let him know.
Please.
He'll call him
the
show.
Does he live here?
Ted lives up New York way, right?
Yeah, we'll bring him down.
Ted's always,
after he gets off the boat.
Ted's always around. He cooks like nobody's business, too.
So, Commissioner of Baseball.
Right.
Rob Manfred said earlier this week that he has finished his investigation into the Boston Red Sox and the sign-stealing scandal.
Oh, God.
And, of course,
they got away with it.
He has no time to write a report right now. He has absolutely no time to write a report. Are you fucking kidding me?
Wait a minute. What?
Got all the time in the world. Because you can't do anything. It's not like you have to revise the schedule.
Right.
Because you don't know when you're starting. But until you get a date, sit your ass down and write that report.
Well, you know they start first, though, right?
Huh?
You know they're going to start before any other sport, right?
Of course.
Yeah, because they have to almost.
Well, just so you know, we got a Bryce Harper tribute reel for you.
Oh, cool.
This evening. It'll be fun. Yeah, Alex Donahue, bullshit. I agree.
I know. Yep.
Yep. The sun is coming out, Russ. How does he have no time? I agree. He ain't doing shit. Write the fucking report. Thank you. Mike or Steak, you're right. He is a jerk off. Ronald Darby makes Pro Bowl for skins.
Good Lord, no.
Nice. Nice.
You know, who's licking their chops right now? Deshaun.
Oh yeah,
Deshaun.
Former Redskin.
Former Redskin and Darby beater.
Yep, and Darby beater.
And Douglas wants to know what the fuck is the commissioner doing that he can't do a report.
Well, here we go. All right, It's going to wind up being a page four story
yeah.
when he releases it because he's going to dummy it down.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know how Boston keeps getting away with this.
Not only that, it's almost it gives you the same crap as when Roger
exactly,
Goodell.
Brad.
When Roger Goodell did, when Roger Goodell took quote unquote took all the tapes and destroyed them. You don't have that. This is an American entity. You don't have the right to do that.
it's tragic. Yep. Boston's going to get away with cheating again.
Again.
Yep. Again. I don't know how this fucking city continues to get away with it, but they're going to get it. And let's be honest, Rob Manfred is kind of a pussy.
Yes, he is.
He is a big, meaty. Diaz told me I have to start chilling out a little bit because we're going to be trying to attract bigger sponsors.
Yeah, because
Marty Farrell, you better stick with me. You know my language.
Well, you know the thing that what you're getting ready to say. I know exactly what you're getting ready to say, and I know that. The
Zach,
commissioner,
save this shit for when you call in.
Yes, sucker.
Jesus
but
Christ!
But you should know that he has no idea about what he said about the World Series trophy, a big piece of metal. When he said that, you know, he has no idea that what everybody's fighting for that big piece of metal every year.
Of course,
it's not just a piece of metal to some people who go places who play for 20 or 30 years and never get one of those.
Yeah,
it's jacked up the way he said it.
It is jacked up,
and the way they minimize stuff.
Melissa Walsh, nice to see you, sweetheart.
What's up,
Joe? Darlene Shea, how are you? Adam Gilmore, how the fuck do these assholes not face at least what Houston did? And Core needs to get his douche pickle head smashed with a fucking bat hammer. Manfred is a massive.
Wow, you're getting pretty liberal over there.
Yeah, Marty, you've been there with me.
We've all been quarantined for quite some time.
My mouth is about to get quarantined. Marty Farrell, hey, just so you know, everybody that's listening or watching right now, Marty Farrell has joined us, not on air, but just watching. If you have had Miller Lite over the last 20-plus years, how long have you been there?
Mm-hmm.
Marty is the reason and the guy responsible for it. He's also
Thanks,
been,
Marty. Delicious.
Yeah, Marty, again. We all take time out for Miller Lite.
Yes.
Exactly, Steak. Marty is the man. So how does that pan out?
How does what? Do you know what they're talking about?
Well,
he
said he's going to get the report out before the start of the season.
Yeah.
But who knows when that is?
Nobody knows when it's the start of the season. I think they're going to wait right to when they say that they lift most of the travel. If they wait to most, they lift most of the travel bans. And once they lift the travel bans, then you won't have the worry about your fans getting into the stadium. But they are prepared to play empty stadium games.
Oh, my God. 32 years with Miller Lite.
You have been? Or Marty?
No, Marty.
Ah, big time.
Marty,
big time.
I'm not even 32 years old.
Stop it. It's a bolt of lightning coming in. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. But it's like when Charlie Harper says, strike me down.
Nah. But if you look at the grand scheme of things, if they play empty stadium games, you know how many people are going to be watching? Everybody's going to be watching you.
In all fairness, the advertising dollar is almost worth the seat.
Yeah, at home?
Yeah. I mean, keep this in mind, all right? They want fans in the stands because they want to be back to engaging.
Right.
But suite revenue is high up on the list.
Correct.
Regular tickets inside a stadium, all right, regular game tickets, accounts for about the sixth most important revenue stream for a team.
Right.
It doesn't even fucking matter. That's why you have teams like the New York Mets who haven't given a shit for so many years.
The
Florida Marlins. Who you can count, if you take off your shoes, you can count how many people are in that stadium with your hands and feet, all right?
The fact that
there's no revenue in it because obviously it's better to have.
Right.
It gains momentum. It does so much for your team, and it sells gear and it sells concessions. Mm. But at the end of the day, it's the collective television revenue.
Mm, yeah, it is. It's correct.
So,
when you say that, it's like
Adam Gilmore. Baseball does not need asses in the seats. Look at the Marlins and their 12 fans in each game.
Well, yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. But they just need us to watch. It's a quick football sideboard. Have you heard about Eric Reed's rant?
Eric Reed?
Yeah, the guy who I'm being informed by Douglas here about Eric Reed's rant about the collective bargaining claiming the collective bargaining agreement was changed after the vote.
What happened?
He's claiming that the collective bargaining agreement, he wants to probe. He's calling for a probe because he feels like the CBA was changed after the vote.
He feels.
And it's like, and
does he know that nobody cares?
Yeah, nobody cares. But yeah. he's on his way to the XFL.
Yeah, okay.
That's what we were getting at. That was the guy who confronted Malcolm Jenkins.
Because
he said that they didn't call him Kaepernick or him to the table when they were.
And guess what? Jameis Winston isn't getting called to the table either. You know why? We'll talk about that.
Yeah.
When we come back from break. This is a good time
to go get
a beer.
This is
a
perfect time. This is a perfect time. Go get a fresh beer.
Do not go anywhere, please, all of you. We're going to have a lot of fun on this next segment. Diaz is going to call in and talk about all of the professional morality there is within the Sixers organization and ownership.
Oh, you got to be shitting me.
Yeah, we're going to have some fun with that.
We're going to have some fun with Diaz next,
please,
folks.
Please, please don't go anywhere.
Stay tuned. Don't go anywhere.
This one's for my sister, Connie. We're back live on Get Tanked Happy Hour, powered by Green Legion Radio. Marty Farrell, best of both worlds. Light and Jameson's, that will make for a strong finish. We're trying, sir. We're trying.
Hey, Stacey.
Everybody, this segment is brought to you by our good friends at Miller Lite.
I wonder why.
Yes, sir. Dev Kurtz, Thirsty Thursday. Yes, Alex Donahue. Alex Donahue's coming over to use our stripper pole. Please. Oh, okay. Please do. Please. I might even pay for that, and you need a job right now. So
awkward.
Awkward.
Now, some people have put in requests. Joyce put in a request for a song from the 80s. She put in Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
Ugh, Christ, Sidney Walker.
I know. I think we just give.
We got one girl song in right there.
That's yeah,
and that was for my sister.
What you got? What you got for me?
All right, so
who's calling? Somebody's calling us.
We already know.
Is somebody calling us? Is he calling us?
Absolutely.
Is he taking a sweet ass time? What the hell is wrong with him?
Michael Diaz on the line. How are you, sir?
What's up, fellas? Thanks for having me on. It's been quite a long time, and
there's a reason for that.
Happy to be conversing with you. All good things. All good things.
Who's the master?
Well, I'll tell you who my master is, Hollis. All the loyal listeners.
What happened? You hung up on us?
I don't know what happened.
I think you hung up on us.
Oh, hold on. My Skype dropped.
Oh, yeah, Skype dropped him. Did he do it on purpose?
No, hold on. I don't know what just happened here. My Skype just completely dropped. That's weird. Diaz, call back in, please. Diaz, yeah, call back in. Diaz.
That was a mistake. Deepest apologies.
Yeah.
Not really.
Diaz, call back. He doesn't even realize he's not on.
I think he's still probably blabbing.
Yeah. Hold on. What's up, Rexy?
What's up, Rex Meiser? How you feeling, baby?
There he is.
There he is, the Rexer. There he is. All right. Diaz is back in the house.
Yeah, I have no idea what happened there, bro. Sorry.
Oh,
about
I
that.
See. I see how it goes. I'm getting muted already. I haven't even started.
I guess you're that guy.
Rexy just joined us here. Still wearing flannels.
Great,
you know,
he's still wearing flannels.
He goes from maritime engineer to redneck in less than 3.2 seconds.
That's good. And he goes from silent participant to Rex eruption in 1.6. So I'll be waiting on the hold for that.
Don't worry. There's going to be a leadership conversation.
Yeah, he's here for leadership.
Okay. Yeah,
his microphone's off.
Consultant. Yeah.
I got him. He's on now.
Now, Diaz, I've been having some quality questions for you these last few days about the Sixers comings and goings, mainly the people that are running the show. The fuck's up with that?
Yeah. Quite embarrassing, and Hollis, you know, I mean, we could take. There's always things to talk about, like play on the court and the roster and the coaching and all that stuff. And there's always disagreements and ways that you would do things, and other, you know, people do other. But consistently, this entire ownership group has just. They always have egg on their face. They don't seem to do anything right. I have volunteered every single year to come on their team as the VP of Common Sense. Before they do anything, is there anyone over there?
Now, Diaz.
Hold on, Diaz.
I know, because Diaz, that was quality. I like that, Diaz. You almost got me in your corner, except for the Markel Fultz stuff.
I mean, there's two things on the Markel Fultz thing. We could talk about that.
Don't talk about it, because it's gonna mess up my respect for you right now.
In case you guys watching didn't hear what Diaz said, now I have the speaker propped up against the phone. Diaz wishes that this organization, Sixers organization, would hire him as the VP of Common Sense.
Yes.
I love it.
I love it. Go.
What happened? The latest disaster. Was, you know, last week, word got out to Mark Stein at the New York Times, probably from someone on the Devil's side,
right,
which we don't even need to go into that, but that they were furloughing or cutting back, not just the salary, they were cutting back hours as well. They'd be working a Monday through Thursday instead of Monday through Friday, and in the corresponding 20% salary cut to workers within the Devils and Sixers, like the front office and ticket sales and all that. Which, you know, immediately blew up online. You know, I'm sure their lines were flooded, and it was just terrible PR for two men that are worth a combined like $7 billion. The next day, which was like last Tuesday or something like that, the next morning, Embiid, who was probably already making plans to put a donation up for $500,000 for, you know, relief, support, whatever, also threw in there that he'd be supporting Sixers employees that were affected. And then about 2 or 3 hours later, Joshua Harris and David Blitzer reversed course.
We have to take care of the girls that take care of us.
They keep doing these things that just embarrass, you know, from the confetti game and the, you know, renting out the art museum steps when they get the number one pick. Like, you know, they're just constantly trying to sell. Everything is market tested and algorithm and graphics and everything like that, which is good, which isn't bad. But before you put it out there, is there anyone that's saying, what's this going to look like? They operate it like they operate one of their, you know, they're venture capitalists, and they have all these different businesses and sub LLCs and everything like this, where, you know, most companies are facing that right now, those types of layoffs. And
they are not.
It's just, well, some companies are. I mean, some companies are, but they are not.
That reminds me of the South Park episode where they got caught downloading music.
Oh, yeah.
Lars Ulrich.
Oh, yeah.
We'll have to get... We'll not be able to buy his kid the island.
I had a quick question for you, DS.
Yeah, Hollis has something for you.
I just asked a quick question. It's like when you first seen Joel Embiid put out what he put out. I hadn't heard about them cutting salaries until Joel Embiid said his piece. Now you couple the piece that what Joel Embiid said with what Jimmy Butler said on JJ Redick's show. Explain that to your boy.
We'll do a whole show on this.
Yeah, but just explain it. Give me a quick layman. Give it quickly to me in layman's terms.
Hey, hold on, Alex Donahue. Diaz is not sticking up for him right now.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, Diaz is more embarrassed than anybody because he's been sticking up for him for so long.
Exactly.
Well, it's a different. I haven't been sticking up for this ownership group ever. I've never stuck up for the ownership group.
I don't know.
Especially since they fired our Lord and Savior Sam Hinkie in 2016.
Oh God.
I mean, they just put. I mean, let me give you a history of what they did.
There's a TGP.
They came in here. They came in here. They had the disaster. They had the disastrous Andrew Bynum trade, right? Which led into a complete. We had to completely tear it down, build it back up, and however you choose it, that was the best way of doing it. They had a plan with Hinkie. He's starting to realize these things coming in, and, you know, we traded for first-round picks 4 years off, and then they fire him. They bring in Jerry Colangelo based on the league, which they shouldn't have been involved at all.
And his wife was a quality addition.
He brought in his son, too.
They had the son without interviewing anyone else.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Who Brian Colangelo said he'll never lose a trade. He lost every single trade that he made. He leaves it in embarrassment. They just squander the assets they did. It's just it's one thing after the renting the art museum steps and the
oh God.
Scott O'Neill separating people from it's just embarrassing for them forever. So
Taylor,
I want them to sell the team.
Russ Taylor, do not ever mention Andrew Bynum's twat waffle name again.
Oh God, please no. And to you Diaz. We got a lot of picks, but they didn't do shit with him. And Hinkie didn't do nothing with him when he had him. He picked a lot of lame ducks and did a lot of trading.
Diaz is gonna stick up.
I would not.
That's not true. That's not true. Now listen.
Detroit.
I mean, we don't need to do this on the phone. This is easily done in person. Mm-hmm. But you say the way that it works.
Thumb wrestle.
The one thing that people don't get, and I'm not – listen, you could say that's not a good strategy, but the idea is – and he said it all the time. We're not smarter than anyone. We're just working the numbers. We have every advantage that every other team has. There's nothing special or worse than us than anyone else, and that's what they went in. You have four top five picks. They hit on 50%, which is just the numbers. The idea wasn't that you had four top five picks, and now listen – it'd be great if all four worked out. It'd be great. It would be awesome. But that just doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen short term, long term. You look at the numbers, it's about a 50-50 chance of you getting a quote unquote star level player.
Omar checking in from San Diego. What's up, buddy? Jesse Mesa. Hey, just so you know, Sorry, Diaz. I know it's tough when we're doing Skype, which we're going to be remedying by next week's show.
Yeah, I want to see the look
on
your
Michael
face.
But Michael Moyer has one for us.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm sure it's a Chuck Norris reference.
What do you got for us?
Oh boy.
Yeah. I don't know if anything could ever be as good as Chuck Norris uses live snakes for condoms. Hey,
now somebody chimed in on Diaz and all his assets. My boy Charles Dennis said that just because if you don't hit on any of the picks that you use that you get, what the hell good are they?
Well, here and you know what, Brent MC, our man about town, he hits the nail on the head. You drafted 3 out of 4 centers.
Exactly.
In a league that's moving away from centers.
Boom.
I get it. It is very chic in the league to have a stud big man.
Yeah.
It is. But it's also better to have a Steph Curry knocking fucking threes like it's no tomorrow.
Yeah.
You guys are absolutely correct. Like that. I'm not saying that's wrong, but then you look. So what someone is like that saying is, you drafted a center. Why would you draft another center? You already have the center and the small forward. You need to draft the power forward here, where that's what teams like the Phoenix Suns have been doing. They've been drafting for fit and need and not best player available. Now we can argue like Nerlens Noel, Jahlil Okafor, is that the best player available?
Oh God,
you know. It, like we can argue on that, but just say like there's one way of doing it, which some people will say they drafted 3 centers, and you're like, yeah, but they drafted 3 19-year-olds.
Well,
and you're not drafting 19-year-olds.
But hold on here, Diaz, and I'm gonna chime in. All right,
go ahead.
Well, no, but the glaring need on this team for years has been a shooter, and they refuse to go that route.
Now, when you say that, pure scorer, you're right.
And I don't say JJ Redick because I'm going to go short white boy on you.
Yeah, but he was a little longer than 2, too.
He was.
But here's a thought, though. I mean, all right, just stay with me. We're talking about draft picks. We're not talking about signing like Redick or anything like that. All right,
continue.
Okay,
sir.
So here's the deal. Also, what in the previous 2 years in the playoffs, what was the one thing that we really needed that we didn't? A competent backup center. All right. Mm-hmm. Now we drafted 3 centers, which is a terrible, terrible thing to do. One of them was terrible. One of them is still in the league and has progressed to be better. He's not. He's a starter-ish type of center.
Starter-ish.
He would be a perfect backup center. He'd be a perfect backup center for any team.
Right.
Which we don't have now. Mm. When you're saying the shooting, which is the league was going that way, it was like 5 years ago where Charles Barkley was on Inside the NBA, ranting and raving, can't win as a jump shooting team. So the Golden State Warriors, one of the historically greatest dynasties of all time in the NBA, if not all sports, started in 2015, which is they drafted Nerlens in 2013.
Oh God,
Dennis Joel. Baker drafting 3.
Hold up.
We got feeds coming in, so
yeah,
shut your trap.
We got a few feeds. Go
Dennis on, Baker on. Drafting 3 19-year-olds sounds like a great weekend to me. Sean Henderson. Emma and Sophia, I apologize. I will try to curb my language. As soon as I know you're not listening anymore, I'm going back.
Now, to go to what you're saying, when you're dealing with, I'm going to put this out there like a grown man should. I don't get if my job is on the line, I'm drafting somebody that can help me.
Hold on, Rexy, you got to have a leadership comment coming in here.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just listening right now.
No, it's like put it this way: it's they chose to draft those people. Your ass is on the line. This is not high school, and this is not college. Dude, you're getting paid to play. So if I can't use you, what the hell am I bringing you in for?
Is this that common sense?
This is common sense. If
Moyer,
suck,
the Tiger King Joe Exotic, was made from Chuck Norris's That's why Tigers like him.
Well, Hollis, you're
Sean,
a prime
I'm
example
sorry.
Here of the draft being an imperfect science.
Yeah.
Where you had what'd you have, a 13-year career, 14-year career?
15, sir.
Have you 15, not paid so, attention yeah. to anything I've been talking about for the last
now,
year?
Now, hold up.
What's wrong with you?
Now, when you say what you say, what you see, what you're saying, I can't help it. It's like I get.
You just sounded like Chris.
When you say what you say.
Yeah. Rush hour.
Yeah, rush hour. So, but when this is the only thing I have a problem with, Diaz, is we continually make excuses for these people, and they're taking our money. Then they do what they did. With it's the best thing that I can tell you is that, like, somebody posted one time, pay attention to how the organizations treat the people now, because that's how they feel. And just in terms of organization, right, in general, all around the world, everybody's got a job. Pay attention to how they treat you, because that's what they think about you. It's like the way that he just treated his employees lets you know how he feels. They actually let that crap go on for as long as it went on, and people were still coming expecting to try to get out of the second round of the playoffs. And you still pull that crap that he pulled last week. That's god awful.
I'm with you, Diaz. 100%.
Diaz, Alex Donahue says the skinny jeans have cut off circulation to your head.
Well, see, this is the problem. Alex Donahue is still upset with me because I said that Bryce Harper is an overrated player. And he says, I don't know what I'm talking about, even though the MLB players, like 1,000 of them surveyed by The Athletic every year, have voted Bryce Harper as the most overrated player in baseball. That doesn't mean he's bad, Alex. It doesn't mean he's a bad player. It just means he's overrated. So where we might consider him an MVP, and he's just like All-Star, not MVP, that doesn't mean he's bad. It just means he's overrated. So that's what Alex's problem is. And, you know, we go back and forth all the time.
You understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Yeah. Hey, so let me ask you a quick question, Diaz. How long was this rebuild and this process supposed to take?
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
how long was this process supposed to take? Okay, so you turn the team down. That's one. You turn the team down, and you gain assets. Are you not supposed to build a small young nucleus, and then along the way add some older guys that can help to teach these guys how to be pros, and then once they learn how to win together, then they
right.
Yeah, and one of the guys emerges as a superstar.
Now, hold your breath here. Hold okay. your, like, just, hold just okay, prepare go. Yourself for okay. what my answer is going to be.
Okay.
Is the problem oh, is boy. With that, that that is true.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is they were too good too quickly. They were too good.
When?
Too
Who?
Quick.
What? When?
Yeah.
No, hold on. Wait a minute. When? Yeah. This is what I'll tell you. We were okay. Tops, okay. You're too good too quickly. Will you go to the finals in the playoffs or something like that? We only went to the second round, which was what y'all was bitching about before this process started, sir.
Look up idiot in the dictionary. Right. You know what you'll find?
So.
A picture of me?
No!
Right.
The
That's
definition
right.
of the word so, idiot, which you fucking are.
Step into my office, Diaz, because you're fucking fired.
This is what I'm going to say here, all right? Okay? So let's just say from the time Joel Embiid was drafted, not even the time he started playing.
Jesus
Christ. Hold on.
Go ahead. Let me give you my answer.
Give it to me.
How long is it supposed to take? And I know that that's weighted with all the, like, potential pitfalls. There is no quote-unquote timeline. It wasn't an 8-year plan or a 3-year plan or a 5-year. I get it. Mm. When they started in 2013, I said, I'll give them 5 years to determine right. whether it was good or not. I'm right. not going to make up my mind in year two.
Okay.
But, you know, you have to give them time to draft their
Promises as stupid as they're stupid guys.
now,
so
yes.
Hold on, real fast.
Diaz, I'm sorry. Emma and Sophia Henderson said, shut up, Diaz.
We got all the kids against me.
No, Diaz, but go ahead, because I want to hear what the rest of this, because...
Okay, so this is what I'm saying. And when I say too good, too quick, right. it's not entirely true. But right. but this is what we have to do, what we have to consider here. And B was drafted in 14, right? That was when he was drafted.
Yeah, but he was...
He missed the whole 14-15.
Right.
He missed 14-15 and 15-16, which right. are... They count. They're not. You can't throw them away.
I don't count those because he wasn't ready yet. And see, this is what I'm saying.
Okay, let me finish. Okay, so basically, in Embiid's
fourth
year,
we didn't want you to call in for the entire segment, just so you know.
All right. Well, listen.
Well, finish, Diaz. Shut up and finish.
Finish,
Diaz. Just finish. Finish, please.
In Simmons' second year, they won their first playoff series. They weren't considered to be contenders, except everyone's extremely disappointed. They lost to Boston in the second round as favorites.
Okay.
They had zero experience.
That was year four of Embiid being drafted, okay? Or year two of him actually playing. All right? And Simmons year one. Last year was Embiid's third year, and then Simmons' second year. It took Giannis six seasons to win in the playoffs.
How long would it take Yannick Ngakoue to get a sack, though? I'm sorry. We started off Y-A-N-N.
Yeah.
We want him right away. So it's all a matter of perspective. Listen, I'm not. This year was completely disappointing.
Right.
I hate it. I would like to consider it a throwaway season. Hopefully,
Hold on.
I'm about to mute both of you.
You can mute whoever you want, but you will still hear me. Now, this is the thing: when you go out and you go get Jimmy Butler, and Jimmy Butler don't know who the fuck's in charge. That's one thing.
Quit bringing that up.
No, we get it.
The internal organization's a fucking disaster.
Yeah, but
we've already figured that out.
Hold on.
We don't need Jimmy Butler to tell us that.
No, hold on. Hold your horses. I'm basically saying this. You should have let go of the coach. You got somebody in here who hold guys accountable for what's going on. That's all I'm saying. Sooner or later, you got to have
right.
a guy to
Listen,
get a guy in here who's not their friend. I feel like Brett Brown's a good
All right, you guys are done. Each one of you has 10 seconds to finish your thoughts. Hollis, go.
Go Birds.
All right, good. Perfect. Diaz.
That was my exact point. You're right. These guys have been in the playoffs one single year. And
four,
all of a sudden
three,
tenders,
two,
probably
one.
Not.
Diaz, peace.
Diaz is offline.
Diaz, step into my office.
Is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response, were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought? Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Just what I think, you can't get even dumber. You go out and totally redeem yourself!
Everybody, we are taking a quick break on Get Tanked Happy Hour. You can follow us into the green room. We're going to have another shot. We'll be right back after this. guys didn't know what that is, that's breaking news. Breaking news here in Philadelphia.
What's the breaking news?
Marcus Hayes is still a douchebag.
Oh, God, what happened? Really? What
nothing. He's just still a douchebag.
You don't like Marcus?
No, I can't stand Marcus.
Why not? What happened?
Because he's an idiot. All he does is try to cause controversy.
You say what?
But I thought you guys would appreciate that bit of humor there.
What controversy now?
He talks.
You know what?
I would pay him to shut up.
You know what the funny thing is somebody put an article out there talking about they're trying to cater to Carson Wentz and do this and that. I was like, what the fuck you think he's supposed to do? He's the franchise quarterback. Why would I bring somebody in here who wants to cause a fucking rift?
Right.
Excuse the deepest apologies for the fucks. Sorry,
Steak,
about that.
I don't know if the sun's out in Westchester, but it ain't here.
Nah, it's really not.
It's trying.
It's trying to come out. Good things. Mazel, mazel.
All right. Anyway, let's go over our couple other topics here. But we do want our friend Chris Sack to call in right now. I don't know what he's waiting for. That was after the second break.
Middle of light.
Chris Sack, ready for me? We can only hope, sir.
Come on, Chris.
We can only hope.
Chris, call in. We just had a horrible call with with Diaz. He was denying stuff. He's worse than like a.
Also in breaking news, yeah. Marcus Smart has been cleared by doctors from the coronavirus, but not Accutane.
Hey, Sugarfield.
Sorry, did I say that?
Yeah, you saw that. You said that. All right. Hey, here comes Chris.
Sack Master, what's up, baby?
Yeah.
Gentlemen, I'm only hoping to be 50% of myself today and hitting on my takes because that appears to be only good enough for Diaz.
Yeah, I was about to say, you'll be 5 or 6 percentage points above fucking Michael right now.
Woo!
How we doing, guys?
We're doing well, man. Hey,
you're fucking winning over here.
I actually have a couple things to talk about with you. I'm going to start off with bad.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to get to good.
Yeah, work to the good. Yeah,
yeah, we work towards the good.
Yeah, let's start off with the worst.
Rob Valivas, I know that annoying laugh is Rex. Interesting.
Jeez.
Wow. Wait a minute. Hold on. Before you carry on. Rob, didn't you help out Rob with his show a couple times?
I did.
Rob there? You know,
it's just because I've been really busting his balls about his spelling and grammatical errors in his Facebook posts.
Hey, that's what he gets.
Yeah, but that's
what he gets for not working on it.
Exactly.
All right. So, ready?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jim Salisbury.
Salisbury steak.
What could be so bad, children? It's Salisbury steak day. Salisbury is just trying to look. I like the guy, and I think he's extremely knowledgeable. But when you are just searching for controversy or
big
searching
time.
For a story, look, do me a favor. All right, Hollis and I don't have to come up with stories on our own. Rex doesn't have to come up with stories on our own. We're going to read everybody else's and just tear you apart. All right, Salisbury. Says now that there may not be a baseball season, which is a crock of shit.
Yes, it is.
Baseball's coming. All right. JT Realmuto may only be with the Phillies for 1 year because he has time to think about it. Dude, really? Could you do me a favor and just shut the fuck up?
The complete fuck up.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to put the onus and all the blame here on Jim Salisbury because, in my opinion, the full responsibility of this matter and even the fact that this is still a question of whether or not JT Realmuto will only play one season in Philadelphia solely is to blame on Matt Klentak. I mean,
thank you.
Has Matt Klentak done a damn thing since he's taken over this franchise 4 or 5 years ago?
No, he's cute, though.
Pile of Triceratops droppings that were in Jurassic Park.
Triceratops droppings. Wow.
He's cute, though. He's cute.
I wouldn't even go that far, man. Yeah. He's a bug-eyed nerd that came out of one of those Harvard Cornell-type backgrounds. Listen, I've about had enough of Matt Klentak. It's an easy decision to make here. Open up the checkbook and freaking give the guy his deal and his money.
Exactly.
He's the best catcher in baseball. You traded away your number one prospect for him last year. This should not even be a question or even be an article that should be written by anybody, let alone Jim Salisbury right now, in a time of crisis.
Right.
We don't care about this. We just want him to get paid. Mm-hmm. The fact that they couldn't come to an agreement and just give him the extra $2 million for this year, and they had to take him to arbitration in Arizona when they had spring training in Florida,
Florida,
is pissing me off.
You know,
and, he lost his case.
And you know what? The jacked up part about this is we're talking to stuff and Realmuto, I feel like he wants to be here, but in the same sense, you want to get your fucking due. You want to get because as a young pup coming up, everybody always tell you have to wait your time. This is his fucking time. He's the best catcher in baseball right now. Not only hitting, catching, and throwing motherfuckers out. He's a beast. To me, he's a beast. I love watching him hit, and I love when motherfuckers try to test him on the steel to test his motherfucking throwing arm. But the best thing about him, though, is when somebody actually he throws the ball and he kind of misses on one, because I know the next one is coming harder and faster. It's like, but that's the shit that you cannot measure that, and it permeates through the team. Go ahead.
And he's doing the right thing because he's trying to set the market for future catchers because he wants to strike it while it's hot, and catchers don't get the big long term deals.
Exactly.
I'm not saying give him 7 or 8 years. 5 or 6 years, come on, man. Let's just make the deal happen. 5 or 6 years, $120, $140 million dollars. Call it a day. Get it done and over with.
Well,
I don't know what Clint Hack
he's
is
the best catcher
for
in baseball right
and,
now.
And to piggyback 100%. Off what you were saying, have you paid attention to when he's not in the lineup and the other guy is catching for him? It's a total shit show.
And real quick, Alex Donahue, who rarely brings up a good point.
Mm-hmm.
Actually does and says, what happened to the FU money we have?
Yeah, exactly. And not only that, Clintac didn't go get Bryce Harper. Who went and got Bryce Harper?
No.
Who went and got Bryce Harper? Tell him. Exactly.
Middleton.
So Clintac hasn't done shit to keep his job. And I'm just getting sick of hearing his fucking name, and it's not with something that's positive.
Chris.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I thought he left.
No, he's not going anywhere.
I was waiting for you to chime in.
I just let you finish your point, brother.
I was waiting.
Move on to the next one.
I was waiting for you to chime in for Clintac not doing shit and him just being a pretty face here.
I thought it would be nice this evening, considering that we have no baseball. All right, and right now we should just be coming out of our first weekend of baseball.
Correct.
Just maybe remind people how cool Bryce Harper is.
He is cool.
Bryce Harper is as cool as the mane that is on his head right now, looking like Mufasa from Lion King.
Hey,
hold on.
This was not an opportunity for you to speak, sir. I apologize.
Deepest apologies.
I have my top three favorite Bryce Harper Phillies home runs lined up right now. So
all right, let's go.
If you want to take a quick walk down a very short memory lane, number three for me was obviously his first home run as a Philly. It was against the Braves.
Right.
It was on what? Oh, yeah. It was on March 30th, 2019. Exactly 1 year ago. Everybody, enjoy.
Honey, I don't know about you, but in this situation, I've been letting it go on that fastball.
Hold on a second. Let's talk about that again. I'm not going to completely commentate through this.
Please don't. Let it ride.
But you hear the announcer say, I'm going full bore on a fastball right now. Let him go.
You know what that is, though, don't you?
Yeah.
That was Michael Jack.
You know it.
Of course it was Michael Jack. All right. And this is against the Braves, which makes it even better. Ready, go.
Honey, I don't know about you, but in this situation, I've been letting it go on that fastball. You know? Holding one, 1-0, looking for a fastball.
In the air, right center field. The first one in the Phillies uniform is a bomb into the second deck for Bryce Harper. And the Phillies lead it 7-4.
Or that fastball. Wow. Should be a nice ovation here.
Yes, sir.
We'll let it play out.
really remember all those handshakes?
I love that. How do you remember all those handshakes?
Exactly. Probably be a little curtain call here as well.
And Michael Jack said it right. There's going to have to be a curtain call here. And, ready?
They love it.
And here he comes.
Oh, God damn, I miss sports. Now, God damn, I miss sports.
If you actually remember, I know, we're here, we're queer.
Get used to it.
But I'm sure I'm getting blocked for something on that one.
Not really.
But the best part about that, in my opinion, I was not at the game.
Right.
And you have to remember, it's unlike dedicated Eagles fans.
Right.
Phillies fans wind up going, like true Phillies fans wind up going to about 15 or 20 games a year. Hmm. Maybe more.
Maybe more. A few more. All right.
But you kind of have to have the luck of the dice to watch or be part of a big moment in Philadelphia baseball. I was watching this game. I was not there. And the one thing that I will never forget is when the camera pans over to the Philly fanatic and he just leans back like, oh, my God, take me, and goes like this.
Oh, yeah.
I know it's difficult to visualize while we're speaking on radio here, but he just leans back, throws his arms up in the air, and it's like, Jesus Christ, because, superstar.
Well, because he did that actually when the ball left the bat, because the sound, I don't know if you sound.
Like,
oh, my God,
the sound.
Dude.
100%.
Like, and that's what, right now we're missing everything. I was watching some kids play marbles the other day. I don't know why.
Hey,
I'm just saying. on closed circuit TV. I'm just saying.
Here we go.
I'm losing my competitive edge.
Now,
I'm just saying.
Hold on. Here we go. I hate you now. I miss baseball more. You're welcome, Alex.
Dude.
Brent MC, best mascot in sports. Seriously, Jesse Mesa. I mean, Phillies baseball too. I'm getting goosebumps. I miss Phillies baseball too. So. My next favorite, which is...
Let me take a guess. Can I take a guess at which one it is?
There's only three.
Okay.
Well, I know what number one is.
Obviously.
The walk-off.
Shut up.
Jesus. The no-hitter?
I want to take a guess.
What the fuck
two?
Is up with you revealing two. Christmas presents that are wrapped, asshole?
Hey, you know you got a G.I. Joe with a Kung Fu grip, right?
Right. Seriously. Go ahead. What's number two for me?
Thanks, Captain. Number two.
I know what number two for me would be. It would be the one in San Francisco, where he came back to the dugout and because the guy was heckling him, and it was the second one of the game, and he put the Phillies ahead for good, and he came back and he told the guy to F himself behind the dugout.
Chris Sack,
you're muted.
Or don't shift as much. In the air to right center field. That one's going to be way. Splashdown for Bryce Harper, and the Phillies retake the lead. It's 8-6 here in the top of the seventh inning.
You can't go to the well that many times and hang that many sliders.
Just takes one swing.
Some happy Philly fans.
Well, that is the 51st ball into McCovey Cove in the air by the opposition. It's the third by the Phillies.
Brilliant.
Dominic Brown and Cody Ashier, the other two.
Dominic Brown. Oh, God.
So,
oh God.
Chris Sack,
oh God.
You were 100% accurate. Now, I want to make sure that we were on the same page, because if everybody remembers this game,
right?
Harper hit one earlier in the game.
Right.
And he came past home plate, and there was a dude that was heckling the shit out of him.
Heckling the shit out of him, yeah.
And he literally put the finger up to his mouth. Shush.
Okay,
so now, coming into the seventh inning, they're down 6-5.
Boom.
All right? And What does Harper do? Comes up and drives one straight into McCovey Cove in the air, 466 feet.
Kiss her.
And he didn't. And when he came back, he didn't do anything.
Right.
You know, he was just like, yeah,
kiss
that's,
her.
That's me.
Kiss her. I'm going to destroy
that's
this.
Me. I'm all right. Now, if you guys don't remember this moment, Bryce Harper. My favorite home run is a Philly.
We going to Bryce Harper? I had a moment that I would have liked you to try to reminisce about.
Go ahead.
It was about a pitcher, Nicole Hamill in Chicago, no-hitter.
What does that have to do with any of this right now?
I don't know. I just liked it.
You just pulled a Diaz.
I just liked it.
You just pulled a Rex Eruption.
No, it's me. I just liked it. I liked that moment. I was watching it.
Yeah. You know who was out there with a group of fans?
Know about you?
Yeah.
I know.
All right.
And that's why
Hold on.
I found
Big
that,
Dog, I love you.
No, I found that out like after I posted the watch caller, because I actually covered that game and I did the post game. And we was what
I still love you.
I know. But I was like,
Hold on a second. You know what? I'm gonna come over there and give you a hug in a minute. I'm gonna give it because, oh my God.
I love, he's losing.
He's failing right now. It's great.
He's
deflated. He's actually going like this.
I can't slightly blushing.
Okay.
It's kind of rough trying to be a man all the time. Being a man and winning, especially these times of quarantine.
Okay. So now let's come to
Mike Pete,
number one. All right,
yeah, Mike Patrick.
We all know what it is. All right, even though I was busting Sack's chops about opening up Christmas presents before.
Abracadabra.
All right. Walk off grand slam home run against the Cubs.
Ooh.
All right. Now, the best part about this is listening to John Kruk.
I was about to say, I agree.
All right. You can't.
Just listen to him.
You can't enjoy this video or this clip without listening to Kruk. Because we all get it. Tom McCarthy, you know, and you know what?
We know how much you love him.
I love Tom.
No, you know what? Tom's not. It's just difficult. Yeah, thanks. And who just farted there? That was great.
That was Chris the second.
That was me.
It's difficult when you have to replace Harry Callis.
Exactly.
All right, so there's no way that anybody's going to walk in here and do this. But the thing that pisses me off most about Tom McCarthy,
what's that?
Before we go to this,
what's that?
I've been to at least 500 Phillies games over the course of my life.
Okay.
Maybe not. I've been to at least 250 Phillies games over the course of my life.
Okay, go to 150.
Can I hear 200?
150, okay.
No.
Stop lying. But okay, so
and your bid, $1, Bob. Yeah. No, but
Dick, 1201.
Tom McCarthy does a broadcast in center field and catches a fucking home run ball.
The first one.
I have never caught a ball in any way, shape, or form.
What's that, Zach? What's the Zach Meiser?
It doesn't count if you're a grown-ass man and you wear a glove. I'm sorry. It doesn't count. You wore a glove.
Hold up, Sack. Hold up. Go ahead. You can say that. I know what happened.
No. I want you to hold up.
Okay. I'm going to hold up.
I agree with Sack. You shut up with your catcher's mitt. Go ahead, Hollis.
Well, no. What I was saying was, when the ball was coming his way, he looked up and saw the ball coming his way, and he put on the catch on the mitt. That's what I loved. He said, hold on a second. That was the sweet part.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't even a regular glove.
No, it was like a –
It was
like
a first baseman's mitt.
And it was like a commercial, though. Yeah. He was commentating, and he's like, hit, it's up, it's good. Oh, he said, hold on a second. He jumps up,
throws the glove on,
and catches the ball. Now, I don't give a damn how you catch the ball.
All right. Well, anyway. All right. That's what pisses me off most about Tom McCarthy.
Because he caught
a home run? I've never caught a ball, a foul ball, a home run, anything.
Sounds like a personal
And this
issue.
Motherfucker goes – Yeah, Sounds it is. Impressive. It's a personal issue.
You want to?
Thank you.
You want to sit? You
Thank
sit,
you, big dog.
How about you want to sit? Like,
here's another personal issue.
Okay, good thing. Miles.
Mute.
Belly. He's
all right. Ready? Everybody.
Yeah, we call him the jail.
It was
right now.
August 16th, 2009. This is you not shutting up.
They have an opening.
All right, just been muted.
That's a Johnny Walker talking.
All right. This is August 16, 2019. And listen to Kruk. No, that was the foul ball he hit, 2-2. Building it up. Here we go.
With the bases loaded and one out.
Oh, my God.
Deep to right field. Way up there and way out of here. Second deck walk-off home run. Grand slam, Bryce Harper. Wow. The Phillies have come from behind to win it 7-5.
Okay, we're not done here.
Oh, yes.
All right. Did you guys hear Kruk? Oh my God. All right? it's literally surreal. Not only that, okay? The Phillies were down, what?
Five to one
in the bottom of the ninth. All right?
Okay, yeah.
Right.
So you're literally looking at a situation that it's kind of replicating that eight-run deficit the Lieberthal era had. Remember that in the bottom of the ninth? I can't remember the game exactly, but, Zach, I know you know.
And yeah, it was a two-run shot by Leiby. Yeah.
It was just so surreal. And, you know, you have a guy who is brought in to be this bomber for you, all right? And fuck, it was literally one of my favorite home runs of all time. A majestic home run.
Majestic.
A majestic home run hit in a worthless game is just nice.
It wasn't worthless at the time, though.
What's that?
No.
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that, Chris. Yeah. Sorry. I'm not going where you think I'm going. A majestic home run in the fourth inning that hits the upper level,
right?
And is a great souvenir for a fan.
Right.
Is just nice.
Right.
All right. Here is a situation where the Phillies were down 5-1 in the bottom of the ninth.
Boom shakalaka.
And a walk-off grand slam with one of the most majestic home runs ever hit in this park, and that includes Ryan Howard's fucking bombs.
Exactly. Now,
but we gotta play it again one more time.
Whoa, before you play it one more time. Now, I've been talking to one of my esteemed colleagues, Douglas. Uh-oh. And we're going through all the nostalgia and everybody. We're going through everybody watching all these replays, and it's just bringing to the realization that we're probably not going to have no fucking sports until damn near fall.
No, that's not the case, dude.
I hope not, Douglas.
Yeah, Douglas, no. We're going to have baseball by June 1st.
I disagree.
I don't think you're going to have – and Quimby, I said this to you earlier, and you told me to save it.
We are not going to talk about the virus.
I don't know when we're going to have baseball
back. Huh?
Well, actually,
listen, they have stipulations that they set in place with the players' union.
Yes, they do.
They will not play games unless there are no bans on mass gatherings that would limit the ability to play in front of fans. There are
Hold on, real quick. Hold on. Baseball doesn't have that ban.
Hold on, real quick.
Go ahead.
Football has that ban.
No, real.
Has that band.
Hold on a second. Let him be a nostalgic.
But hold on, real quick. Boomba! Listen to Kruk.
2-2 with the bases loaded and one out.
Oh my God!
Deep to right field, way up there, and way out of here!
You don't know
second
why.
Deck walk-off home run!
You don't know why you say, oh my God. No, I want you to rewind it because you don't know why he said, oh, my God. He said, oh, my God, because did you hear the sound that the ball made off his bat?
That went off the glove of Terrence. Now,
listen to this. Go ahead.
Getting there. No, we know the sound.
No, this is why he said, oh, my God. Listen to the sound.
This is going to be the foul ball.
Is it?
It's okay. He's still alive.
Still alive, baby. One out. Thug life.
One more time, everybody. If you haven't listened to Kruk, pay attention now.
With the bases loaded and one out.
Oh, my God.
Deep to right field. Way up there and way out of here. Second deck walk-off home run. Grand slam, Bryce Harper.
Now, let me tell you, besides Kruk,
right.
My favorite part about that home run.
What was it?
Harper ran those bases
so
like he was in an Olympic fucking trial.
Exactly. I love that.
He could not wait to get to home plate to celebrate.
Did you?
Hold on. Did you hear that?
Yeah, no.
He could not wait to get to home plate
to celebrate. Because it was a party, y'all. The funniest thing, though, is watching it from home and seeing him hit that ball and it going out. As soon as he hit that ball, I was like, yes!
Oh, we all knew. We all knew. You could barely see that ball come through on the television.
Exactly.
He hit that thing so goddamn hard and perfect.
You're killing me, Smalls.
I know. Sackmaster, you got anything else for us, baby?
Well, like I said, guys, I hope that baseball comes back sooner rather than later. Mm-hmm. But these restrictions that they have, I'm not too optimistic right now.
Thanks, Negative
Nancy. I don't think you're going to wind up seeing baseball close to July at this rate, season. And that it's, they want to make sure that they can play with fans in the stands, unlike basketball and hockey, who think that they can. And they probably will. And I hope that they do. And I hope when those two sports come back, they jump right into the playoffs. But baseball, you're probably going to be looking at a shortened season. And I heard you earlier saying about the revenue streams. Baseball is different than basketball and football. Basketball and football have their national TV deals. Mm-hmm. That's where they get all of their money from. And then the gate is kind of like a secondary thing for them.
So baseball's
not like
that?
Baseball is different because their TV contracts are per market, per team. So, like, the Phillies could sell their TV rights like they did with Comcast a few years ago and have their own exclusive contract. Gate and the concessions and all that stuff is paramount in baseball as far as the revenue streams. So the less money that they make, the less money that everybody else is going to make as far as the players. And I'd hate to not be able to see JT back in a Phillies uniform this year if Klintak can't get the deal done.
Hey, Chris, we appreciate the doomsday advice you just gave us, bro.
Thanks, Dick Cheney. Let's go, honey.
I'm depressed, guys. It's been almost 3 weeks without sports. Dick, I'm shocked.
Okay, Dick Cheney, let's go hunting soon.
Yeah, let's go hunting. Hey, by next week, we are going to have I don't know if you heard, I bought the Mac Daddy of laptops. We are going to have Wirecast set up, so we're all online every show.
In your face,
beautiful.
Oh, my bad. I almost called you Diaz. Deepest apologies. Yeah. Bob, sorry about that.
We're good.
Man, tell me about it. We've been, me and Diaz have been trying to get on the air like 4 or 5 days last week. You know how many times I had to look at his ugly mug through Skype?
I'm just saying. I didn't want you to go there, but now I've thrown up a little bit in my mouth. I have to take a break.
Yep. All right, look, we are going to take a quick break. We're going to say goodbye to our official Phillies correspondent, Chris Sack. We appreciate you tuning in with us once again and calling in and being part of everything we do, sir.
Anytime, boys. I'll catch you guys next week.
All right, sounds awesome, good, brother.
Sauce. See you, Chris.
All right, and we're going to take a quick break here on Green Legion Radio, the Tanked Happy Hour.
John Cage said he would rather go hunting with the Tiger King.
There's so many Tiger King jokes coming on right now. Lord, it's not even funny.
Dog the Bounty Hunter.
Yeah. Little Tom Sawyer for you, baby. We'll be back right after this. All right, everybody, welcome back for our final segment of the Get Tagged Happy Hour, powered by Green Legion Radio, live atop our beautiful Northern Liberty studios, which we are finally seeing a little bit of skyline.
Of sun, actually.
Thank God, man.
It's about damn time. I think they're fucking with us.
Yeah.
They're fucking with us big time.
Sean Henderson, Brian Conroy, Hex Rexy, I need a massage, pal. I don't get that.
You need it. What? What did he say?
Yeah, who knows?
I'm gonna abstain from that one.
Yeah,
I'll be the big man now. Walk away.
I have nothing else to say tonight. How about you?
I'm pretty much out there. Pretty much done.
Pretty done.
I'm gonna save something for the sequel.
Yeah.
This has been pretty fun. Well, Mighty Wednesday. They're doing the Mighty Wednesday Friday thing because I know people, if they're like me, you're not trying to be a superhero and go out and test this ordeal. We're not going to mention it. But just do the right thing to protect yours and others.
Nah, you know what? I don't mind if I get it. I just don't want to give it to anybody else.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's it. You know.
Yeah.
I don't want to be responsible for giving it to somebody who's in the twilight of their life.
Yeah.
It's not it kills everybody it affects.
No, it doesn't.
I know what you're saying.
It's just why?
Stay safe, John.
Why risk one more life?
Yeah,
you know what? I've said this a number of times. I don't want anybody to lose a life because of me.
Me neither.
So
I don't want to lose a life because of you.
apparently, Brian Conroy was rubbing Sean Henderson down in Pittsburgh.
Yes, my mom is.
Oh, that's right.
Hold on a second.
Cheerleaders.
If there's
cheerleaders, Pittsburgh.
If there's anything other than right as a statement, okay.
You realize I spend most of my life in a blackout.
Steak.
Right? So
hold on a second. Hold on. Steak.
Steak.
Don't you threaten us with a good time, asshole.
Somebody give us a steak.
When do you want to come in next week?
Who's that?
Mike Stepke, steak. He's almost as big as you.
Yeah, so we need a steak then.
I don't want you to get it, Q. I'll live, Jay. Be safe, be well. All right, look, Hollis, anything to get off your chest?
Not really. I'll see most of my people on Wednesday. Mazel, mazel, good things.
Mazel, mazel.
Good things. Actually, a couple of people, Douglas, Matt, and John said, they just said, I'll see you Wednesday. Mazel, mazel.
Steak. Steak. Are you here on Monday? Because there's a seat open for you.
Wednesday.
Monday.
This is Monday.
No. Next Monday, you jackass.
Oh, okay. But you're going to give him a whole week?
Morpheus, you understand?
You're going to give him a whole week to bring
steak?
He's
good.
Yep. You sure he's going to believe that?
Yeah.
I guess
believe that.
Some other people are trying to bring us some food in.
Believe that.
Right. I'm going to have to talk to you about Giuseppe.
Jesus Christ. Rexy, any leadership issues you want to get off your chest?
Yeah, Peter Nocchio.
No, you know what I want to hear from you?
About what?
I want to hear, now that Malcolm Jenkins is gone,
okay,
who is going to step up for this Philadelphia Eagles team and take the leadership role?
I'll be honest.
Don't look at me. This is your time on air.
I'm very worried about that because I don't think we have that veteran leadership in the locker room. That guy that everybody turns to for advice and leadership.
All right. Can I tell you who that guy is?
There's a couple guys that I think.
Can I tell you who that guy is?
Who's it going to be?
All right. Who's the longest tenured Eagle?
Right now, Fletcher Cox, isn't it?
Nope.
Kelsey.
Nope.
Brandon Graham.
Brandon Graham.
Wow. That's who they
want. You realize Brandon Graham has been here for 10 years.
10 plus.
Now, no, 10.
No.
10.
Okay.
And the thing is, I think they want him in that role. I don't know if he wants that role.
You guys want dessert Wednesday?
I think Brandon Graham loves that role.
Yeah.
I actually think that Brandon Graham would have had that role had Jenkins not come in and assumed it. Now,
but what's to say that he doesn't already have that role? Because it's one of those things where sometimes leaders lead by example, by what they do on the field. You don't always have to be the
steak,
rah-rah guy.
You're in.
And the weirdest thing about
steak,
the weirdest thing about it is I never knew what you're speaking of. It's like a lot of guys come to me now and talk to me about getting through training camp. And be like, I was the guy to help him get through training camp and stuff and things like that. It's like, and they called me a leader, and I never feel like I was a leader.
Here's the deal.
See,
the longer your tenure,
right?
all right, you're automatically a leader.
Yeah.
It's not as if you even have a choice. So yeah. if you've been in a locker room on an NFL team for a decade.
Right.
All right, you don't have much of a choice.
You don't have a choice. The thing that kind of like that caught me, it was like guys would be like they would see me trying to make like I'm not a run test guy. If I have to make a run test for us to win a damn game, if I have to run that many yards, we probably gonna lose. Like I'm dedicated to stopping and moving the mountain and destroying people. It's like, but because the coaches put forward these tests, I am going to do them because I'm part of the team. And guys, like still to this day, I crack up because a lot of you guys don't know, some guys come up to me and be like, say it. I'm like, what? They'd be like, I got. Because during the running test, when the running test got bad, you would hear me yell out, oh my God. You would hear me yell that out. But I would finish the run test, and guys would appreciate that because I'm 330 plus, well, and I'm finishing the running test. And just finish the running test. And that and guys know that I am all in. And also the things that hustle. You cannot preach hustle.
Brandon Graham's battery has never died.
Never died. So
can I clarify what I meant about Brandon Graham?
Sure.
I think he's worried about he's going to fill the role that Malcolm Jenkins had here in Philly, where he was.
Why do you think he's worried about it?
Because those are giant shoes to fill.
Why do you think he's worried about it?
Why do I think Brandon Graham's worried about it? Because I think people are going to want him to step into that role that he also played in the city.
Okay.
And publicly.
Okay. All right.
I think Brandon Graham, he wants to lead by example.
Excellent
in
point.
In the locker room. He doesn't want it to be to bleed out into
okay, excellent
into
point.
Public life.
Next question. Why do you think he's worried about it?
Because everyone thinks he's going to be the next Malcolm Jenkins.
Did you see the Adam Hollis? I know.
He has to be Brandon Graham.
It's rhetorical.
Brandon Graham. Okay, is the reason we won
the Super Bowl.
Boom!
No, hold on a second. Let me retract that.
He will ever be enshrined.
Brandon Graham is the playmaker that assured us our first Lombardi Trophy. All right, and actually, what's even funnier about that? Exactly. Have you guys broken down that play? Have you? I know you have.
I have.
You probably haven't.
All right. Sweet.
Brandon Graham is lined up as a fucking tackle.
Deep tackle, yeah.
In that whole thing.
Exactly.
And the fact that Derek Barnett was turned the right way to
get that
fumble.
That ball, yeah.
Honestly, it was our time.
Yeah. It was fortuitous.
It was very fortuitous.
Yes.
It was our time. The football gods finally said, yo.
Enough is enough.
Here
enough,
it is.
Enough is enough.
Here it is. Now, what's even funnier, if you've ever watched a lot of the video, there was a breakdown where Foles actually said, when they got that ball back,
right,
he goes, guys, we're going to punch this in, get a touchdown, and win this Super Bowl. In the huddle.
Right. Exactly.
And he didn't.
He didn't. But they got a field goal, right?
And, ready? From a rookie kicker. And in the Super Bowl, a rookie kicker had never made more than a 41-yard kick. Field goal.
Field goal, yeah.
Ever. In the Super Bowl.
Boom. Shot
ever in
the
Super Bowl. I'm saying all this because.
I didn't know that.
Oh, there's so many things.
There was a lot of firsts in that.
Well, no, there was a lot of firsts. Right. And I don't know if you're aware of this, but the biggest first is the most yards.
Ever. Total yards.
Total offensive yards.
Yes.
In a Super Bowl and in a regular season or playoff game.
Yep.
The most yards ever in a game,
was
in Super Bowl 52.
Yeah, neither defense could do anything.
Crazy.
Well, it's kind of crazy.
Well, no, and it was all coming down to, and you know what? We all fucking hate Chris Collinsworth.
Yeah,
we all.
I fucking hate Chris Collinsworth.
Well, we don't. We don't.
I hate him.
We don't hate Michael.
I don't.
But
I hate Chris. I want to kick Chris Collinsworth in the teeth.
Oh, I want to cunt punt him across the street.
But see, you don't even know why, though. Do you?
Sorry. Snap him like a toothpick.
No, but you don't even know why. I don't like Chris Collinsworth because of what he. If I say something and somebody hears it, I don't give a fuck if you hear it because I can say it in your face. He said some shit about T.O., but then tried to come shake T.O.'s hand.
That's a good story.
And then T.O. was
I remember his, that.
Yeah, exactly. And it was like,
go
like,
away.
Like, get the hell out of my face.
Yeah.
It's like, basically, this is my thing. Don't say nothing behind nobody's back that you can't say in their damn face. And then it's about integrity. It's about being a man.
Exactly.
Being a man or a true woman. Honor. Don't say anything in nobody's face that you can't say. Don't behind nobody's back that you can't say in their face.
Russ Taylor, I did not say CP. I'm not allowed to anymore. Diaz says we have
to tether it down because we have bigger and greater things.
Yeah, we're gonna be on the air, guys.
And I will let you. I will give you the no cha cha words because I know them because
son of an onion.
Not because I've been muted. I've been muted, and it's a few words that you can't use, and it's a few words that we can't use that we think we can use because they're not cuss words.
Nope.
But we're not supposed to.
No, nope, we're not
because
allowed.
Of the FCC. And we don't want to be fined, and we don't want to be fined and muted.
Here's the deal. Yeah. At some point in time,
because Danielle said,
hold on.
So when I look, when you was talking, I look down, and Danielle Carter says, Chris Collinsworth can eat a bag of dicks.
Hold on a second. I believe when we're on FM radio. We could still say Chris Collinsworth can eat a bag of dicks.
I believe that's legal.
Yeah.
Close to it.
If not, we could say Chris Collinsworth can eat a bag of Richards.
Or a bag of sausage.
I like, yeah.
You can't,
either way.
This is the weirdest thing. You can't say douchebag. You can say doucherific or douche. You can say any forms of douche, but you can't say douchebag.
Really?
Isn't that ridiculous?
Yeah, because, yeah, I know. It was like. And you can't say anger bang.
Okay, so when we go on FM radio.
You can't say anger bang.
Which will be
exactly. Anger bang is not, you can't say anger bang.
Which will be exactly 1 month from now.
What up, Ron?
When we're on FM.
John Runyon just joined us.
We have to hire somebody on the 7 second rule.
Yeah, well, John Runyon just joined us.
Ah, what's John up, Runyon.
How you feeling, man?
What's up, bro?
Let me show you what's going on. My boy John Runyon. This Rex.
John Runyon?
Yes, John.
I have never had the love for a white man that I do for you, sir.
O-line is fine.
O-line is fine. That's my guy. Only reason, you know what the main reason that I love John Runyon is because the dirty shit that he was doing in practice, he was doing it in the game.
No. Hold the phone.
You have to understand.
Shut up. No. I'm talking over you right now. You know why I love Runyon?
Why?
Because every time he punched Strahan in the face when he was down.
Well, see, that's what I'm saying.
That's it. No, we're all on the same wavelength.
We're on the same wavelength.
And they wound up loving each other at the end.
Not really. My boy Ron, he don't give a fuck about Strahan. The thing I love about Ron is he had the same nasty attitude versus us in practice.
Nasty.
That he had in the game.
Nasty.
When you see that shit in the game, you love it because there's so many guys that do so much crap. We call them all practice all stars.
Honestly,
all practice all stars.
Honestly,
and he wasn't one of them. He's one of those guys. Go ahead.
You have to think back right now and consider the glory days, and it was glory days where we didn't win a glory team. But imagine. Imagine a team with Trey Thomas on the blind side
mm-hmm.
and an angry John Runyon
Run!
On the other side. Ugh. Trey would not get as much publicity
right.
in any way, kind of like Bobby Taylor.
Well, but
nobody throwing right. that way. Runyon gets all of it because Runyon would poke you in the fucking eye, yeah. given the opportunity.
You know what my favorite?
Knee you in the dick.
No, but you don't know what
love
my,
him.
You know, but
John Runyon.
My favorite thing.
I have a man crush on you.
You know what my favorite thing from him was? When guys were standing around the pile waiting to dive in, and he would come and pick somebody off.
Exactly. Just throw him like a rag doll.
And it's kind of a weird dynamic because when we go on against them in practice and we realize how good they are, It's like, and we win him, we win a lot of it because of the way Jim Johnson like predicated things, and Ron doing like dirty. He played every practice like it was a damn game.
Uh-huh.
And so it's like it was because it was the
twos, I believe that
because the twos and threes was there. And one time, one guy was laying down and he kicked him like he was down. I was like, oh, damn. I was like, that's my dog.
I love it.
No, but it's love like it. The offensive line, the defensive line, we used to get it in. And I still love those guys. I still talk like hit between him, Trey. I haven't talked to Hank Fraley in a while.
Can we? Can you ask him, please, John? Will you call in on Wednesday or Friday?
We would
love to talk to him.
After
man.
The show, I'll try to get in touch with him and see what's up. Some of the guys, like Jamal Jackson, I still talk to him. I haven't talked to Jermaine Mayberry in quite some time.
Brent MC. Running always good for the late second pile on.
Well, see,
he had that good nasty streak every team needs.
Well, no, but see, it's not the he's right, but the late second pile on is the defense guy coming to pile on. He would come and pick that motherfucker off.
No,
I love
I got
that.
It.
And it was
hey,
like,
hold on a second. I will say right now, looking back over the course of John Runyon's career,
right,
I would not change a single play.
Never, never, never. That's my guy.
Guy was a fucking animal.
He's a beast. No, like it's, and
now he's a politician, so we're going to have to talk about that.
He's not a politician anymore.
No,
he's worked for the NFL currently.
Oh, okay,
he
good.
He gets out the fines.
We'll be bringing you on 102.
And his son is in this draft class.
His son is in this draft class, yeah. That's what I was about to bring to you. Runyon Jr. is an offensive tackle in this draft.
Please tell me you instilled the values.
He's a beast.
Of dirty play.
He's a man amongst boys. That's my guy.
Is he as big as Big John?
I think he's bigger than John.
Oh wow!
Because John lost some weight.
Wow.
So
John has took off all the football weight.
Yeah, he took off
now
all the
he's,
football
now
weight.
Now he's just a beanstalk.
Yeah, and I was cracking up.
A sexy white beanstalk.
I wasn't going that far, but
I love that guy, man.
That's
honestly,
my guy.
Honestly. You know, it's not a glorified position.
Right.
In any way, shape, or form.
Right.
But if you ever watched all of these matchups, especially against Strahan.
Yeah.
You know, a knee to the kidney.
What up, Tom?
You know, it was amazing. Anyway.
All the former Eagles, you don't remember Tyrone, Ty Green.
Of course I do. Stop.
Everybody chiming in. Well, last week.
Get them on air, man.
I'm gonna try
the
to
hell?
Get some of them on air. I'm going to give out the number.
Get any of them on air.
See what happens.
Nah, you need to work on that, man.
I will work on that.
How great would it be if you actually brought something to the table?
Really? Well, thanks. Thanks, Dick Cheese. I mean,
wow. Dick Cheney or Dick Cheese?
Do you want to throw him off the balcony, Hollis?
I'm not going to throw him off the balcony. I'm not going to.
Nacho fries. Nacho fries. Jeff Pearlman, top five free agent pickup of all time.
The lady.
I don't know if I'd go that far. I would go Tip.
The kicker from Ace Ventura Pet Detective.
Ray Finkel.
I'm not going to Ray Finkel you.
No. anyway.
I'm not going to Louis Einhorn you.
Tip. I would say John Runyon is the best free agent pickup the Eagles have ever had.
Yeah, he was one of them. He was one of the best.
Not Troy, top five, not top three.
Troy Vincent.
That's a big statement, dude.
It is a big statement.
He was a great pickup,
but that's a big
statement.
He allowed Donovan to have the career that he had here.
Laces out.
Which, you know, I get Donovan's an idiot, but that's no reflection on John.
Oh, John, no.
All right. Troy Vincent, beautiful, chic pick.
Dude, it was that. When I got here and they had him. And they had Irvin Fryer. They had him and Irvin Fryer that came here, and then Bobby Taylor and Troy Vincent was out there, dude.
I still think Runyon is the best free agent in the modern era.
I'm a little biased because walking into the huddle and hear your two corners say, "We got this coverage. Y'all got us some pressure."
Ooh,
we got
nice.
This coverage.
Guys that weigh half of what you weigh.
We got this coverage. Y'all got us some pressure.
All right.
Make them get – they want us to make it
no,
out of the
No, let's not even bring T.O. into the equation because that was a trade.
Einhorn is Finkel. Finkel is Einhorn.
In the modern era of Philadelphia sports and the Philadelphia Eagles, John Runyon was the best free agent pickup of all time, in my opinion.
Is that one? Is it modern or in the 90s? Because Troy came with me.
That's
in
96. 90s.
Not, no, Troy came in 96. Runyon came in 2000, in the 2000s.
Okay. I take Runyon over Troy.
I don't know.
Well, Troy's in charge of player union, so you have a relationship with him right now.
I have
now.
A relationship with John, too.
And that and $5 are going to get both of you a cup of coffee at Starbucks right now.
Yeah, isn't that good? Even though
I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you. Runyon was the cornerstone of an offensive line that didn't let anything happen to Donovan.
I don't know.
They made him a better quarterback than he was.
You know what? There you go.
You know the weird
great
thing,
players make other players around them better.
And the weird thing was if he had not listened to everybody else and just like played to win, and I know some of the offensive linemen would feel the same. Just played to win. It's like you don't have to stand back there and hold the ball 5 or 6 seconds just because you can. Pull it down, get us a first down, give us another set of downs.
And you know what? We have been 20 minutes over where we wanted to end.
So you telling me this why?
Because we're ending the show.
So
right
the
now.
Bottom line is that Brandon Graham is a great leader. I just think he wants to be the guy on the field in the locker room. He doesn't want to be the guy.
I believe he is the guy in the locker room.
He is. Yeah.
I have no doubt. But he's doesn't.
No,
he doesn't
I,
want,
I think
he doesn't want to
think,
be no, Malcolm no, Jenkins. No, he wants no. to be Brandon Graham.
Oh, how do you even make that statement?
Because he's Rex.
How do you even make that statement?
Because he's Rex.
Because people
first
want
of all,
him to fill
not
Malcolm.
A single one of us, including Hollis, who has more connections into that locker room than anybody here. How do you even make that statement?
I wouldn't make.
We
the
have
statement.
No I'd be, idea.
And I'd be,
I I'd believe be, Fletcher Cox is a leader in this team.
He is.
Even though you seem to, everybody seems to think he's kind of a whiny pussy.
Who thinks that?
I don't know.
No, not that.
So, not that. It's like this.
Let me rephrase that.
This is what I know.
He's silent.
Yeah, he's silent. But he works off of like as a D lineman, an interior D lineman, you work off silence. But you there to cause a play to electrify everybody else. And that's why I never said
Brandon
anything.
Graham is vocal.
But
Brandon Graham has a radio show at Chickies and Pete's the night before us.
Hugh Douglas. That's all I'll say. Hugh Douglas, even though Bullet Wound, he turned into Bullet Wound during the game. Bullet Wound during the game, he's letting everybody know he's coming. He's going to be chasing that quarterback. He'll be chasing the quarterback. I have to cover the run. I play next to him. That's what it is. It is what it is. It's like the leadership thing. It's I think sometimes it's overhyped because you have leaders on a team and they lead by example. They lead by playing. It's like you know. It's like I'm not. If I have to waste my breath, you get paid to do this. If I have to waste my breath. If I had to waste my breath to hype you up, then you're really in the wrong business, sir.
Yeah.
It's a good thing. It's mazel mazel.
And at the same time, I believe Carson is now the leader on this offense. If he's not,
something's wrong.
Then we have an issue. All right? We have no idea what takes place in that locker room.
I do.
I mean, you know, we can assume certain things. But I believe Brandon Graham is vocal. I believe Brandon Graham, you know, as awkward of a pick as I thought he was,
I think he won
us a Super Bowl.
What the
he was the guy that won us a Super Bowl, but we're not going to go back.
Have to go back into that. What I was going to tell you was what you must know about Brandon Graham is he's continuing to try to prove that he was the proper pick in that draft.
And he already has.
I believe he already has. No, but that's what you think. That's what he thinks. But as a human being in general, while I played for so long, continually to try to prove that I belong. And as a man, that's what you do.
The only place you don't belong
is
in my toilet.
Good things, mazel mazel.
Interesting.
I never take a deuce in your toilet, mainly because I like home field advantage. And I don't want to be banned from your home because I would probably probably destroy the plumbing. You don't have any man wipes in there. Let's call this one a day. And I would feel uncomfortable just like wiping my ass with toilet paper and without any man wipes.
But I do have plenty of toilet paper, which is a nice commodity these days.
I need man wipes, but good things. Mazel mazel.
Rexy.
Bottom line is I'm glad Brandon Graham is on our team and he's going to be a leader.
Yeah.
He's just not going to be the guy in the community like Malcolm was.
He's going to finish his career somewhere else for dead money, but happy to have him here right now.
My bad, I was laughing. Danielle said to tell everybody the shitter's full.
Shitter's full. Clark, shitter's full.
Later, Joy.
Everybody, we appreciate you tuning in for another segment of Get Tanked Happy Hour. We went almost 2 hours. We apologize for the drunkenness we had on the end. We'll see you on Wednesday.